sees you sun deriving from the depths.
Please stand for the reading of our call to worship from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 through 10. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Before you with grateful thanks and with hearts that long to adore you and worship only you. Lord, may we know the presence of the Holy Spirit is here with us today. May we be open to your leading, sensitive to your speaking, and alert to your calling. Amen.
Let's continue singing to our Father, who is the creator of all things and the maker of all things and the caretaker of all things for us as well.
Second scripture reading comes from Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
You may be seated.
Throne of God above, I have a strong
Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can come together in this place and worship you and just be reminded of what you have done for us. So, Lord, that is why we're here, the fact that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, to save us from our sins, and to make us whole and righteous before you, Father. So, Lord, help us to remember that in the midst of all things. Lord, I pray that you would be with Pastor Tom this morning and with Emma as they share what is on their hearts for us to hear this morning. And I just pray for us as we are here to receive what you have us to hear and to learn. Be with us all here in this place this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Buenos dias, mi amigos. Y bienvenido a Hope Church. My amo is Darden Kaler, and I meant to practice another phrase this week, but I didn't get to it, so that's all I know. So I'm going to start talking in my native tongue, because otherwise I'll sound like a fool if I try to finish off this in Spanish. My name is Darden Kaler. I am one of the pastors here at Hope Church, the associate pastor. I keep him in line occasionally. And I am here to tell you a little bit about what is going on at Hope Church throughout the week, because the life of the believer is not something that we do just on Sunday mornings, but it's something that we do each and every day as we live out our lives in Christ. So we talk about what we do throughout the week, and we want you to know what's going on. First things first, though, there is this little nifty-difty card in your bulletin, if you have a bulletin, and it is there just in case you are visiting with us and you want us to know that you are here, or in case you have a prayer request and you want us to be able to pray for you. So you can take this and fill it out, drop it in that bucket at the back door, and that would be great, because we'd love to know that you're here and we'd love to be able to pray for you. A couple things that are going on, or a couple things that are not going on. Women's Book Study will not go on this week because something special is going on this week. Blueprint Mission Trip is going on this week, and we want to encourage everybody to take part in that. I assume we're still looking for kitchen help.
Sure.
Okay. Looking for kitchen help. So if you... Tonight and Wednesday. We still need someone to help out in the kitchen tonight and Wednesday. So if you have a free night or one of those nights are free, you can sign up to do that. I would say you can see Jackie, but she's down at Blueprint, so it's probably not going to see her today. But you can talk to Tom or I, or we'll get you in, point you in the right direction.
Well, you can see Jackie. You just have to
You have to volunteer and then go down there. Yeah, that's right. And let me see also, officer nominations. So if you are a member of Hope Church, we are looking to have new deacons and elders, not getting rid of the deacons and elders that we have, but add deacons and elders and so on. We do nominations every year. If you are interested in nominating somebody, the information, is it still there in the back on the, yes, it's in the back right there. And you can pick that up and look it over and then nominate whoever God has placed on your heart to do so. Drop it in the bucket as well, or you can give
that'll work.
Tom or I or whatever.
Staple it to Darden's forehead.
You can staple it to my forehead. Yeah, why not? You can staple it to my forehead. That'll work. I was just thinking, do I want to cover my forehead? It's getting bigger these days. So, yeah, cover a little bit of it. Cover up here. That'd be great. We have Spanish-speaking service coming up next Saturday. This coming Saturday. Yes. Y'all talk amongst yourselves for a minute. Is it this coming Saturday or next Saturday?
No, anyway. It's both.
Anyway, sorry. That was a side drink. If you are interested in volunteering for that, or if you would just like to attend, it would be a great way to learn some Spanish, because it will be entirely in Spanish. So I encourage you to be there. We've been a part of it for the past couple months now, and they're really fun and exciting. Hope for Kids is always looking for, we're opening up a new classroom in the fall, and we're always looking for volunteers. So if you are interested in working with the children, you can see Jen Townsend about that. Last but not least, if you are interested, we're hosting our Presbytery meeting here in September. If you are interested in finding out more about that, you can come see me, and there's lots of different tasks that we'll be doing. Most importantly, though, we are having a brief meeting after church today, so we're going to meet in the library.
Or the family room.
We're going to meet in the family room. We're going to meet in the far corner of the family room. So if you are, just in case there's others mulling around, if you're interested in helping out with that or finding out more about that, you may join us for the meeting.
Yes. And to that end, good morning. I'm Pastor Tom. We are hosting Presbytery in September, fourth Friday in September, and the following Saturday morning. And Presbytery, if you don't know what that word means, Our presbytery is a region of churches, and in our case, it goes from Brownsville over to just this side of Pensacola, Florida, all of Texas, the bottom half of Mississippi and Louisiana, and then that little corner of Alabama before you get to Florida, are all member. Those are all member churches in our presbytery, and we will have a meeting with those pastors and elders on the Friday starting at 3. There'll be committee meetings at noon, and we've got a lot of moving parts for this function, and so we're going to identify point people for each of the moving parts. For example, we need somebody to go collect and have here on time box lunches for committee meetings on Friday. We need somebody who's a morning early riser who can go out Saturday morning and get the breakfast tacos here in time. We're going to need people to run check-in. We'll need a point person for that, and then several volunteers to rotate through throughout the day on Friday for registration, et cetera. We're going to have dinner that evening. We'll need to coordinate that. So we'll talk about all of those details at the meeting following church today in the family room. If you're at all interested in helping out, just show up. I don't think it'll be a long meeting. We're just going to talk about the moving parts and try to identify point people for each of those. Any questions? Yes. Last time we hosted. Yeah, I think Christian's coming this time. Well, I think he'll bring it with him this time. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Well, we'll talk about the details at the meeting after church. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me know. Fair, fair. All right. I think that's good for now. Let's have all of the important people come to the front, and Emma. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. All right. How are y'all doing today? ¿Cómo andan ustedes? Alan? Bien? Okay. Remy, you doing all right?
Yeah.
Carolina? Doing well? All right. So, anybody remember what we've been talking about lately? Pray. A very specific prayer we call the Lord's Prayer. You ready to lead us in the Lord's Prayer? Emma's going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. The words, I think, will be up there, and you can follow along out loud if you want to. Everyone is invited.
Our Father, who art in
heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. And now in Spanish. You ready? No? All right. I just thought I'd throw that out there. See what happened. Yes. Oh. Are you red or green? You're green. Oh, maybe a new battery.
Oh, there we go.
There, she's on for now.
Hello.
I don't know. I don't know if it needs a new battery or not. Maybe it just timed out. I don't know. I'm not the techie guy. Oramos. Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos. Santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, así en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy el pan nuestro de cada día y perdónanos nuestras deudas como también nosotros hemos perdonado a nuestros deudores. Y no nos metas en tentación, mas líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino y el poder y la gloria para siempre jamás. Amen. All right. We got through it. So Emma's going to talk to you about some of the different parts of the Lord's Prayer. There's different things going on there, like...
There's praise, priority, vision.
How does Jesus praise God in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
There you go. That's an example of praise. Keep going.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
What's that?
Is priority.
Setting our priorities so that we want what God wants. All right.
Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors is provision.
We're praying for provision and we're praying for pardon, God's pardon and our ability to pardon others.
And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil is protection.
Good. All right. And you want to talk about a specific example of prayer?
I wanted to talk about praise today.
All right. Go for it.
How do you guys think that God uses praise in the Bible?
What's an example of praise? Who do you praise?
God.
God. Very good. How do you praise God? By praying, all right? And what is something you could say that would be an example of praise? Alan, un ejemplo de adoración. No me está dando caso, está bien. Ahí estás. Un ejemplo de adoración. ¿Cómo adoras a Dios? Un ejemplo. Dios, tú eres... God, you are to be praised. You are holy. You are gracious. You are beautiful. You are our creator, our sustainer, our redeemer. There's all kinds of things we can praise God for. All right. We have a... Go ahead. Did you want to close us in prayer for the children's chat?
Sure.
All right. Just a quick closing prayer. Pray for them and their teachers, and we'll be good.
Okay. Dear God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all these wonderful kids that are here today and these wonderful people. I pray that they have a great time in church today and that the teachers have a great day. I know that they've worked hard to get where they are and that they're going to do amazing. Pray for these kids. They're amazing. I'm so happy for them that they're going to be able to do this. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Okay, y'all have a great time in Hope for Kids. And don't forget to praise God. He's awesome. All right. Remy, you're free to go. There we go. All right. Well, page two. So, we are in the midst of our summer youth sermon series, and each Sunday that we have a youth, we have one come forward with me. They've been given an assignment this year to look through the Lord's Prayer and to find some aspect of the Lord's Prayer that they want to dig into. And so today we have Emma Harrison.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. And you have prepared an opening prayer for us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Would you like to open us in prayer?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay. God, we praise you for all the people that are here with us today, especially the wonderful and beautiful children.
We need a battery. Try again. Yeah, it's going out. All right. Pardon our technical difficulties. Two double A's. All right, I got an idea. All right, lead us in prayer.
Okay. God, we praise you for all the beautiful for all the people that are here with us today, especially the beautiful children. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. Something as simple as a sunny day on a day where we feel cloudy is enough for us to know what your presence in our life feels like all day and every day. Lord, help us to set our priorities according to your word and help us to want what you want in our lives, whether that be by our own will or by yours. I pray that God will speak to us through his word and lead us to become more like him in the way we live. I pray for our sister in Cuba, their troops, and everyone who needs the Lord in their hearts. I pray for my dad's coworker and her baby in the NICU, that she grows quickly and healthily. Lord, we confess that we are sinful and we are grateful for the forgiveness that we have in Christ. Help us to be more forgiving of others and of ourselves. Help us to resist temptation, protect us from evil in our world, and protect us and bless our troops, and protect and bless our sister in church. In name we pray, amen. Okay.
Are we back?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Terrified, but okay.
Okay. All right. So, Emma, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do we need to know?
My name is Emma Harrison. I am 15 years old. I'm going to be a freshman at Living Rock Academy this year.
All right. Freshman in high school.
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited.
Very good. All right. Is that falling apart?
Maybe just a little bit.
We're going to try to do this without creating feedback. How's that?
Good? Yeah.
Let me see that.
Okay. Right. And that's the best we're going to get.
Okay. So you're a freshman in high school.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite subject?
Probably Bible.
Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Good girl. All right. I like that. What else? Any extracurriculars?
I do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
You do what?
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Jiu-Jitsu?
Mm-hmm.
So you could, like, kick me in the head right now if you wanted to?
Somewhere or another.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Fair. I'll behave myself.
Okay.
Okay. And do you have colored belts in that?
Yes, we do.
Endeavor? And what is your colored belt?
Yellow-black.
Yellow-black?
Yeah, solid yellow with a black stripe in the middle.
Okay. All right. That's great. Okay. Do you have any pets?
I have five chickens.
Five chickens?
Yes.
Yes, I had breakfast from your chickens yesterday morning. Not the chickens themselves.
Oh, thank God.
It's something they left behind.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
And then one dachshund and two cats.
A dachshund and two cats.
Mm-hmm.
What are the cats' names?
Mo and Ella.
Mo and Ella. All right. Favorite movie?
Oh, I didn't think about this. Twilight.
Twilight. All right. That fits the genre.
Out of the air.
Fits the age. Okay. And, if you were going to Bucky's, what do you absolutely have to leave with or have to have before you leave or when you leave?
Probably a pulled pork sandwich.
The pulled pork sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good. Strong choice. And what do you want to be when you grow up?
I actually want to be a mom.
Okay. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful. That's a good thing. Yeah, you get cheers for that at church. Yes, we like moms. All right, and so for those who don't know you,
mm-hmm.
Tell us how you got to Hope Church. What brought you here?
So my mom passed this past December, and we had to find a pastor for her funeral. And
okay.
Pastor Tom came highly recommended. And we loved him, and we thought he was great, so we wanted to keep seeing him, and here we are.
Okay. And so you came to this weird church, and then you got roped into this assignment to study the Lord's Prayer, and props to you for taking it on. Good girl. I love it. Tell us which aspect of the Lord's Prayer you wanted to focus on.
I wanted to focus on forgiveness.
That's what you started out wanting to focus on.
Yes.
Yes. And then what did your pastor do to you?
Changed it up on me.
Changed it up on you? Yeah. That's okay. So let's talk about that for a second. Like, it's all related, right? And you had some forgiveness issues that you wanted to kind of work through, which I think you have done to a large extent. No one's ever finished with forgiveness, don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. But as we were talking, one of the passages that we came across kind of struck home with you, and in particular resonated with your loss, your recent loss. And that's where we kind of found ourselves like going, this is good. This is where we want to focus. And what aspect of the Lord's Prayer did we end up landing on?
We ended up landing on forgiveness. We're talking... I am so sorry. I'm so scared.
It's okay.
We're talking about forgiveness.
We were talking about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And then as we found this passage in Jeremiah, mm-hmm. we started talking more, which does include the idea of forgiveness. We started talking more about, like, on earth as it is in heaven, mm-hmm. and bringing God's eternal blessings to bear on our present reality. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me just briefly, how has this exercise informed or grown your prayer life?
Before, I didn't really have anything specific that I wanted to see in the Bible. So I would just take my Bible, flip through, and whatever I landed on is what I read.
Okay.
Now, after this, I find that I'm wanting to search for more specific topics in my Bible.
Okay.
Just kind of based on what I think I need to work on, what I think I need in my life, or just how to handle various emotions, or just kind of whatever I can come across.
All right. Good, good. All right. So a little more purposeful in your scripture and prayer life. And in this journey of this exercise, of this assignment, we're now on page 3, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I had you read, I don't know, 12 different passages, something like that. You just love that part.
Oh, love it.
Yeah. Actually, you took to it very well. And so in our discussion, you found this passage in Jeremiah that you kind of landed on and were like, huh, I think I want to dig in here. Tell us about what led you there. How did you arrive at that passage? And what about the passage did you relate to best?
I think this was the one that related to me the most. Jeremiah talks about the old covenant and how it was destroyed and then having to look forward past that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think it relates to me a lot because I have to look past my loss and I have to look forward and just look at all the promises that God has in store for me.
Good. And so we had talked about how when Jeremiah wrote this, he was literally standing where?
In the rubble.
In the rubble of a destroyed Jerusalem and a destroyed temple. And so all of his dreams had been crushed. And he's standing in the devastation of a traumatic loss. And he is able to articulate these words that you're about to read. So there he is. And then you're kind of like, that's where I am. Okay. So take us through, what did that city represent to Jeremiah? What did that loss represent?
It was a relationship that was lost.
Okay.
Because the people broke it and then God had to make it unbreakable in the end.
Okay. Yeah. So the people, we broke the terms of the old covenant, the covenant of grace, and the Jerusalem is kind of in ruins as a result of God's people's unfaithfulness. And Jeremiah stands there and in sort of defiance looks past the destruction and sees the eternal new covenant that has not been inaugurated yet, but he's able to look past his circumstances to something eternal and beautiful and true. Talk to me about how you related to that.
Well, Jeremiah, he was standing in the rubble. He was conflicted. He didn't know what to do. When he looked forward, he saw the coming of Jesus. He saw a glimpse of heaven. And he looked back and he saw loss and he saw the rubble. He just saw destruction. I look back, I see my loss. I see what I don't have anymore. Mm. I look forward, I see a glimpse of heaven with me on earth. I see Jesus. I see all of those promises.
Good. And I'm going off script just a little bit here. Don't panic. It's going to be okay. So you're how old again?
15.
15. And you got a very thorough lesson in the realities of grief, right? What surprised you the most about your grief?
How much it hurt.
Okay. Yeah. And so I think that's really important, right? To acknowledge, and we'll talk about this later in the message. It's one of your points, actually, but to acknowledge the reality of that pain. And beautiful job in your own heart in looking, like, fully acknowledging the pain of that loss. And at the same time, or gradually being able to look beyond it all to see what Christ has for you. This is not the end of your story. It probably felt like the end for a while, right? In the wake of the loss. I mean, it's pretty devastating. And Jeremiah's standing there, and the temple that represented God's presence on earth is gone. And he's devastated. And he probably feels like the old covenant is dead and won't be resurrected, and it's over, is what it looked like. And so you were able to kind of see that in this passage, in your own, in yourself. And then we looked at how Jeremiah looks beyond all of that. What else do we need to know about this passage before you read it?
This passage talks about past, present, and future.
Okay.
But not in order. It kind of goes all over the place. And I found that when I realized that, it made it a lot easier to understand it.
Okay. So there's all kinds of past, present, and future in the passage, but it's not necessarily lined out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he's going to be jumping around a little bit. But what he's really trying to do is bring a little bit of God's eternal grace to bear on the present devastation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to read Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34 for us?
Okay.
All right.
Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of their land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke. Though I was their husband, declares the Lord, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. For the least of them is the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
Great. And so, well said. There's a lot of past, present, and future in there. He's bouncing around. So help us make sense out of what Jeremiah is doing here. Can you take us through his perspective on the new covenant and kind of what he's doing with it?
Of course.
Okay.
So in verse 31, it talks about accepting your present reality.
Okay.
Keeping an eye toward the future that God has in store, even though it may not be what you want it to be. Talks about the covenant, the new covenant being unbreakable, being completely different from the old.
Yeah, the old covenant, we broke it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there it is, lying in ruins. But there's this new covenant that God is going to establish. that is unbreakable, which is pretty amazing. All right, keep going.
When I was standing in the wake of my loss, I had to learn to look beyond my present circumstances and see that, and see what was ahead of me. I know my faith that is not the end of my story. With loss in any circumstance, it can be family, job, I mean, it could be really anything. You have to learn that it doesn't define you. You have to look past it. And while it may be difficult, you shouldn't let it make you crumble. It hurts.
Yeah.
It sucks, but you have to look past it.
Good. Beautiful. So this idea that we have to accept the present reality and the pain that's in this broken world, and the broken covenant represents that broken world. But while we accept that kind of harsh reality, at the same time, God wants us looking beyond, as you said, keeping an eye towards the future. And where does he go in verse 32?
Verse 32, he talks about moving out of your past reality, to not dwell on the past. There's a new reality ahead of us, the old covenant broken by our sin.
Mm-hmm.
And this new covenant, no matter what we do, turn away, hate, we break, no matter what we do, the new covenant cannot break.
Good. Good, good.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jeremiah talks about, like, he's literally standing in rubble as he's writing this. He talks about that present reality, the harshness of it. And he says, move past that, look beyond the brokenness to that where brokenness will not be, which is, we call that
heaven.
And so he's sort of grabbing a little piece of heaven and pulling it down into the devastation. And that reality, when we're in heaven, will we be able to sin?
No.
No. Will there be any sickness?
No.
Any sadness?
No.
What about death?
Nope.
No more, right? And so we're not there yet. We're still in this broken world and in a covenant that we continue to break. However, Jeremiah says, look, that there's something glorious ahead that is unbreakable, which is good news. Okay. So then take us into verse 33 and what you see there.
So bring God's future reality into the present. Jeremiah brings a new covenant into the present. No matter what we do, God will never turn away from us. He loves us and he cares about us, even though we sometimes turn away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Put his word in your heart. He puts his word in our hearts. He knows what he wants us to be with now and forever. He wants his word to take root in our hearts. We can know that God desires to be with us. It says in Genesis that God doesn't need us.
And right.
That's true. He does not need us.
He does not need us.
At all. But he chooses to do all of this for us. He's made promises since the Bible was even a thing, since it was written. Mm-hmm. This is before he was even thought of. He's kept his promises. He's written more for us. And he loves us even though we don't deserve it.
There it is. Yeah. He doesn't need us. He loves us. You were talking about this, we were talking about this, and this idea that for God, where was the law written when God gave the law to Moses?
On their hearts?
On stones?
On stones.
Yes. Where does God want his law to be written ultimately?
On our hearts.
In our hearts. And so a much better place, much more
secure.
Personal and secure, and much more dangerous. Right. My heart is not always reliable. Right. I don't know about you. Yours is probably way more reliable than mine.
I don't know
but
about
we're
that,
gonna talk but... about that. And so this idea that God wants to be dwelling with us, in us, his word written on our hearts, is a really different picture than his law written on stone and his presence in the center of a temple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Take us into verse 34 and what you saw there, please.
So resting in the strength of God's grace, our future is secure. Your past will be healed, and throw away your rearview mirror. So
This is a lot about acceptance when you look forward, because you acknowledge that it's there, you see that it's there, and there's still, you still know it, you still feel it, but you need to learn to look past it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's a bad thing to look back,
right?
But you shouldn't dwell on it. Look forward,
good.
See the promises, look at everything that God has in store for you, because mm-hmm. He's made hundreds of thousands of promises that He's never broken. I don't think He ever intends to break them.
Right. He's probably not going to start now.
No.
That was your line, actually.
That
I stole
was.
It from you. Yeah. And, you know, it would be very easy, I think, for any of us to just dwell on something painful in the past and not let it go and just keep recycling that. And I think if your take on Jeremiah is correct, which I think it is, actually, you did a great job on the analysis of the passage, actually. You know, he is saying, like, we're not, like you said already, like, we're not ignoring the past. We're acknowledging it. We're accepting the pain and brokenness of it. But we're looking beyond and then sort of in the recognition that our story isn't over. And the story of Christ does not end in destruction. That's not the way God's going to let it end.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me a little bit about how this passage brings a little bit of heaven to earth.
It connects us to our future. It connects us to heaven. And it connects us to the new covenant.
Okay.
The new covenant is a promise. It's not something, I mean, you can see it in a way, but it's a promise by God that no matter what happens, what we do, what we think, what we say, it's unbreakable.
Good.
And I mean, that's a choice. He's given us choices since before the Bible. He's always given us choices.
Right. And we can either, you know, choose to dwell on some event, or we can learn to dwell on the hope that the new covenant brings
mm-hmm.
to the present. And so talk just briefly. The old covenant is called the covenant of grace, and we're still in that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's brokenness in that covenant, right? We break it. God is faithful. We break. And so there's all the bad things that happen in this world under the old covenant or the covenant of grace. The new covenant, when did that begin?
It pretty much just began. I mean, he was standing in the rubble. It began with his promises to us when we recognized what he was trying to do for us.
Okay.
It begins in our hearts.
Okay. And so Jeremiah is standing, I don't know, 650 years before Jesus. And he's able to see this thing that Jesus is going to do. And talk to me a little bit about how you related to that.
I look forward and I can see all these beautiful things. But I mean, I'm 15. I'm not going to be seeing heaven anytime soon. At least I hope so.
I hope not.
I really hope so. But I can see what it has in store for me. I can see what lies ahead of me. And that makes me really, really excited.
Okay.
Because when I get to heaven, I'm going to see just, I'm going to say this before, I can't believe I'm saying this, sunshine and rainbows again. I'm going to see peace, happiness, and love. And here it just feels like you're surrounded by guilt and pain and hurt. And it's like heads and tails. They're both complete opposites, moon and sun. They're mm-hmm. complete opposites, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I saw a quote one time. This lady was talking to a man, and she said, oh, I'm a lover, not a fighter, which is something that I've heard so many times, but I didn't really think about it. And he says, well, if you're a lover, you got to be a fighter. She asked why. He said, because if you're don't fight for your love, what kind of love do you have?
Mm.
And that's exactly what I think being Christian is. I mean, it's so incredibly easy to just turn away, just not even think twice about it, which is what a lot of people do. And
mm-hmm.
it's it really sucks. I've seen some of my friends do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get older and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. But it's so much more, it's a lot more rewarding when you fight for the love that you have with God and for people who want to know him, who want to love him too,
yeah.
Which is amazing.
Beautiful. And it's what God's done for us. Mm-hmm. Right? He loved us and he fought for our redemption. So connect this all to the cross, the old covenant, the new covenant, the destruction, the hope, connect that all together for us.
So Jesus fulfilled the old covenant on the cross. The Last Supper, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood.
Okay. So he's standing there on the cusp of his own death,
mm-hmm.
and he holds up the cup and he says, this is it. This is the new covenant,
mm-hmm.
and it will be established in my blood, which he does the very next day. Okay, keep going.
He inaugurated the new covenant on the cross. He gives us access to the grace, the hope, the love, and the peace of the new covenant and of heaven on earth.
Good.
We don't get all of it, but we do get just a glimpse of it.
Yes.
And it's kind of beyond our imagination.
Correct.
We can say all this and we can believe it, but we don't truly know how much there is of that. I mean, I can't imagine just be filled with hope and love and grace. I can't imagine that now.
Right. There's nothing but sunshine and
rainbows.
Rainbows. Yeah, that was your line.
Yeah.
Okay. So now in this life, we have partial access to that new covenant. It's ours in Christ. It's not fully realized yet. But then in heaven, that's all there is.
Mm-hmm.
This unbreakable river of love and grace and peace. Okay. So finish that off.
So because of the cross, we get to be in relationship with God now and forever. Again, I know I've repeated myself, but I still can't even comprehend it. I mean, because of Jesus' death on the cross, we can be reborn as Christians, and we can, no matter what we do, always be able to come back to God. Because,
yes.
Again, he has no reason for us to stick around. There's no reason for us to stick around.
He doesn't need us.
No, he does not need us.
But he does love us.
He does.
And so this is, again, slightly off script. Bear with me. But how does it help you to know that your mom is now in that eternal reality of the new covenant?
It helps because, I mean, we all have good days,
mm-hmm.
but heaven is that times a million.
Right.
Every second of every day in heaven for eternity. It's all you're surrounded by. And it sucks, but it's nice to know that she's there now.
Yeah.
That she's not suffering, she's not in pain, that there's nothing bad that's going on, that there's nothing she's worrying about.
Yeah.
She's really awesome.
Yeah. Okay. And just for everybody else's sake, because it's natural to you, but your mom was a very strong Christian, very strong believer, and imparted that to you beautifully. Your dad's okay too. Yeah, you know.
It's a bit of a stretch, but
yeah, well,
put it there.
We'll give him some grace. Okay. And I think you quoted Buzz Lightyear in your description of the new covenant. Was that me or was that you?
Probably you.
You said infinity and beyond.
I don't think I said that.
You didn't say that?
Maybe some kind of variation. I don't know if I said that.
All right.
Exactly.
Okay. I snuck that one in there. Yeah, thank you. Very brave and very beautiful to see the faith that God has planted in your heart bearing fruit in the wake of some really difficult life trauma. And I was really, really blessed to see kind of the way that you dove into this and really dug in. And you love Jesus and you love his word, and you of all the youth in the world, I'm not going to worry about you. You're going to be fine.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Can we pray? I'll you want to dial or hang up or
hang up?
All right. I'll dial you. Okay. Father God, we thank you for who Emma is, for the bright light of your love that shines from within her. We thank you that you have planted your word in her heart, that your presence is evident in who she is and how she lives. And we thank you for her willingness to share her heart and your word with us this morning. We pray your blessing over each person who is hearing these words. May they hear your word. May they respond to your grace. May they know that your eternal love is ours in Christ, that he has established for us a new and eternal and unbreakable covenant in his blood. And Lord, help us to live each and every day of our lives in that new reality, to be able to see past the devastation of this life and lay hold and claim to those things that are eternally ours in Christ. And we just thank you for this time that you've given us together to reflect on your word. You can just say in Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. That's called hanging up.
Oh, thank God.
All right.
Great job.
We come this morning to the Lord's table, and this is the table that Christ has set before us in his blood, that we might know that his love and his grace are eternally ours. I'm going to read to you from the words that the Apostle Paul gave to the church in Corinth, and I want you to use the time as I read. Let these words prepare you for this table, and the time before and after you come forward, please use that to offer yourself to God as he has offered himself to you. It is important that I remind all of us that this is not Hope Church's table. This is the table of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is open to all of those for whom he has died for the forgiveness of their sins. So when you are ready, you are invited to come forward, either by yourself or with someone you love, and partake. We have all of our wafers are gluten-free, by the way. And then we have fermented wine and unfermented grape juice. If you have any inclinations one way or the other, that is fine with us. Just come forward when you are ready and partake, and then return to your seat, and we will resume worship once everyone has been served. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And of course, the whole point of this table is that all of God's judgment and wrath against the sin of his children were taken by Christ on the cross. You come to this table in freedom, and joy and peace and love. Father God, bless these elements, set them aside from their common use and use them for the renewal of our faith to remind us of what your Son has done for us. And as we take in these elements, may you be present in our midst, spiritually renewing and reviving and regenerating. And we just pray, Lord, your saving work over all of our hearts and the continued progress that you wish to make in our lives. All these things we lift to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him truly, the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard